This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the final episode of the 21-22 season. My name's Dan Fudge, welcome to the Wednesday Week. Tonight we've got Blair, we've got Simon, we've got Ash, we've got Stevie. We're going to go through the season, see how we went, see how we felt it went, see what happened, talk about the signings, talk about what the future is Sheffield Wednesday, talk about the future of some of the players, talk about the future of manager at some point, you know what I mean? It's all happening tonight. Stay with us, and if you're listening to this in the car, let's hope you've got a long journey. So, chaps, what I thought we'd do tonight is we'd go through the months, see if we can bash through them. Let's see if we can spend about half an hour on this, just bashing through the months, talking about where we lost points, where we threw away points, and where it, you know, where ultimately it ended up in us not getting promoted to the Championship. Now, let's go back all the way to August. We're fresh on the back of recent relegation, something that can be attributed to. To the point deduction, to the manager merry-go-round that we had. You know, I believe that a lot of the issues fall at the feet of the chairman at this point, who's been notably quiet this last season. I don't know if anybody picked up on this. We've not really heard from him this last season because I think he's probably burying his head in the sand. Now, the season started with an EFL Trophy win against the Newcastle youth team. That was a 3-0 win. Less said about that, the better. Didn't really get anywhere. Rotherham went on to ultimately pick up the Papa John's Trophy pink thing. Well, I couldn't even tell you what the criteria is for being in that trophy. Is it just League One and Two? I think it is. And then, opening game of the season, 1-0 loss to Morecambe. So that's nice, isn't it? Oh, no. Is it not? Have I missed something?
Yeah.
Charlton away.
Ray away day, Dan.
Of course. I've read it upside down. I've written it down. So we started. I'll start again.
We can edit it out.
You can tell I've been here for
about two weeks, can't you?
Right, so we started with the EFL Cup against Huddersfield. 0-0 draw. Huddersfield beat us on penalties. Do we need a cup run that season? I tell you what, it's a good thread to pull at. Like, Ash, like, Huddersfield, 0-0. Like, did we need a cup run that season or should we have concentrated on promotion?
Sitting here after that season, we're great. We've got the luxury of saying we should have concentrated on cup, shouldn't we? but remembering that match, it was, to be honest, from I think they brought it forward to act like the last pre-season friendly type sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was... It weren't apparent that there were a league between us. It was an all right game, nothing exciting from what I remember. So it weren't that we were a lot lower, especially with the way where Huddersfield have ultimately finished. I don't think, for what I recall, I don't think it was a miles apart in performance. I think Wednesday started off with, ultimately got knocked out, but it was a good pre-season friendly.
I think that's the way it pretty much got viewed. Yeah. I mean, and they now in 4 days' time are going to be playing in the playoff final to try and get to the Premier League against against Nottingham Forest. So up the tricky trees. Then a week later, Simon, we went on to Charlton, tentative start. Charlton, who had a dreadful start to the season, as we'll notice when we're going forward. 0-0 away at Charlton. Not the best of starts, was it, with the benefit of retrospect?
I think Charlton were not one of the favourites to go up.
They were
one of the favourites to go up. I think we were all going into the season, sticking our toe in the water, weren't sure what to expect, from how we finished last season before. Ash went, I didn't go, you went, Ash. I think it were a tentative affair, wasn't it, in regards to the game in all. It was good to be back, because obviously we were back after COVID. But I think they were favourites. Coming back with the 0-0 probably felt like a good result.
Mm-hmm. Solid start, weren't it?
We created nothing in that game.
Yeah, it was a bit.
I tell you what, Blair, I feel like you're going to absolutely kick off tonight. I feel like you're absolutely ready to kick off. And then we went on to tentative affair down at Charlton. Then we beat Fleetwood at home, first game back, expected result. Steve, were you underwhelmed by the result a little bit?
Sorry, say that again.
Were you underwhelmed by only beating Fleetwood 1-0? First game, Rocky in Hillsborough.
No, do you know
what? Doncaster before that, though.
Why haven't I got any of these bloody fixtures written down?
You know what? I've been sat here and I'm thinking, I'm looking at the way he's going around and I'm going, do you know what? I've missed one game this season, either watching it or not being there.
Guess what it is?
I was camping for the game.
Yes, it was Doncaster. I have
Primrose Valley for Doncaster. So I could tell you my experience. I was sat outside a playground with a bar with a beer, trying to get Sky Sports. I think United played Swansea on the same game, and I was out with a bunch of United, not giving two flying fucks what were going on there.
That's right. Yeah.
And trying to stress on about whether or not we were going to beat Donny Rovers. So I've got no real input other than at that point it was almost like having drawn against Charlton to get the first win under the belt from me from a distance, absolutely fine, bang on. But I don't have a great deal other than to say.
I'm glad I came to you, Steve, to be fair, mate. You know what I mean? And then we went on to Fleetwood, Steve. So what about Fleetwood?
Fleetwood was good. It was the first time I'd seen us play live, obviously, having not been there the game before. I think we had that. From my point of view, I think we had that sort of feeling of the type of team that we should be going up against and absolutely steamrolling. I think despite the result, from what I can remember, it was a controlled game and we'd done all right. I don't think we were ever in any sort of doubt that we were going to win the game, but it was one of those that at the time we kind of went, right, that's two on the bounce, 7 out of 9, we'll tick the box and we'll move on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, as absolutely sounds, we then went into a decent start to the season, didn't we? And then the biggest test so far that was happening, it was the first month, was away at Rotherham. Now, Blair, this was a game that could have gone really south, couldn't it? This could have gone to bits. And then it was a decent performance by us, wasn't it? At this point, I started to believe after this game.
Yeah, I did as well. It was HMS Pistol League when we beat Rotherham, weren't it? I mean, the Peacock foul penalty save, it was just like one of them moments we thought, like, this is it now. We're never going to concede a goal. It was like, and we had a great team that day. You know, Lalonga, Iorfa, Bannon, Gregory. I mean, it was a spine. You thought, God, that is a championship spine, nevertheless a League One spine. We were just looking first half, granted, but, you know, I mean, we did the job away at Rotherham, which started one of the hardest games of the season. 10 points, sitting pretty top of the league. I can remember being down south visiting my mister's family. I met up with a Spurs fan and he was saying, oh, how are you finding League One? I said, oh, mate, I'm loving it because we just win all the time. And then and then week after, we lost to Morecambe. So,
well,
banter.
Yeah, isn't it? So then the month then finished out. That was August. Let's get through it because we'll be here all bloody day. And then we then played Newcastle in that same month. Then in the league, we then lost one of our 20 games against Plymouth that we played. It was the first 3-0 loss that we played. Less said about that, the better.
What a trip that was.
You went down there, didn't you, Ash?
Fuck me. Yes, I did.
And he's not bitter about it at all.
I'm
was
not.
That, was that in your electric car as well?
Oh, shut up, Blair. No, it was. I'll tell you what. I've said it all season, and that got there, and obviously spanked us 3-0. But that's the only team I've been most impressed with playing us this season. I know the other time. Defeats at the time. Well, no, I think that 3-0. I think was even the Sunderland debacle away. I think their performance, Plymouth, was brilliant, really good. And we expected to go there, and obviously...
Well, Ryan Lowe was in charge, wasn't he? And then when he went to Preston halfway through the season, their fortunes changed quite significantly. Yeah. They nearly just absolutely fell away. And then Simon was the first of our many draws that we're probably going to get to. It was Shrewsbury at home. That's a shit result, isn't it?
Shrewsbury, and then leading into what should have been a 1-0 win, and then Bailey Peacock Farrell having some sort of aneurysm. Ipswich away. And they say, don't they? There's a saying in football, the draws that kill you. And
those two were really shitty draws.
I mean, bear in mind, Shrewsbury, we drew at home to, and then we lost away. I know that's further down the line, but. That's
a lot of points to take off, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as Simon said, then we went into the Ipswich game where Bailey Peacock Farrell lost his mind and got stuck up on the backside. But then coming after that was Wigan Athletic, Steve. Now, we're away at Wigan to try and get some points to them. We beat Rotherham last month. We're now coming up to the Wigan game and we beat them 2-1. Again, I'm now starting to believe the Shrewsbury game was just a blip. You know, Ipswich are a big club. You're getting a draw there. All right, we lost for auspicious circumstances. But beating Wigan, that's not bad, is it?
That was good. I think the result was better than the performance. That was the one with Pato, where, as Patterson said, it was one of his better goals that he scored to get the winner. I thought, I never felt like we were... Really, when we watched the game, it was on Sky, wasn't it? I never felt like we were really at threat. But, you know, I didn't think that they were the best team in the league when I watched them. Like Ash had said around Plymouth, he thought Plymouth put in that performance at home and won 3-0. I've said it a couple of times. I actually think the first half performance at home against Oxford was the game that we'll probably cover.
Well, that's the next one, mate.
They absolutely battered us. They absolutely hammered us. So coming off that Wigan game, and I'll take the lead. We got the 3 points, and then if you remember, for whatever reason, Oxford turned up late. And yep. I can remember saying to you guys, I'm just walking around the back of the South. 2:15, they're running off the bus. So we were in. We're stripped. We're getting warmed up. Cones out. Job lot. Crowds in the stadium and whatnot. They're pulling up. So I can distinctly remember saying to you guys, we're having this today. There's no way that they're turning up and, you know, doing a number on us because they've just got off the bus. Carl Robinson's walking around with his cuppa, having a chat with one or two of the lads. And they set off like an absolute fucking train. They absolutely hammered us.
Wasn't that a really late goal they won with as well? Hang on, let me have a look. Yeah, it was that Henry scored in the 93rd minute. Yeah, they scored really late and absolutely battered us. That was, you know, they were bloody good that day.
They were a good side. I've said all season. I thought, from that point on, I felt that the best performance against us, certainly at home, was Oxford.
Is that a team also that did the double over us?
Yeah.
They were good away as well. Good team.
Going back to the Wigan game, they were top of the league, weren't they, Wigan?
Yes.
It's the only game that Bannon hasn't featured as well.
Too early for Bannon chat.
And he was like, "Oh, they're top of the league. We're away to him, and Bannon's not playing, so it was a bit of a we're not gonna win here."
It did.
Yeah, two.
It started a groundswell, didn't it? Of do we need Bannon and all the rest of it, and that was the game where that conversation started, wasn't it? So then we went into a rather. You know, is what it is, victory against Mansfield in the Cup. And then we were back at home again. I was there for this one, that Wednesday Bolton game. That was an awful, truly awful game of football, that Bolton at home. And then I was with you guys the following week to watch. We were 2-0 up against Wimbledon.
Jesus Christ.
You were very unhappy about this one, if I remember rightly, Simon.
Yeah, massively.
2-0 up. We were having a party. We were having the best time. It was all happening. And then now we're tasting where the wheels fell off. We just beat Wigan. We beat Rotherham not long before. You know what I mean? Now we've lost to Oxford. We've eked past Bolton in a truly horrible game of football. And now we're throwing 3 points away, Si.
Yeah, we went in. That October was just a horrible month. Starting at Wimbledon. There were changes made. We were coasting. Changes made. And the wheels fell off in the game. And
substitutions, weren't it?
Substitutions just changed the game. And we saw Wimbledon were... The thing was annoying was Wimbledon weren't even in the game.
No. They weren't anywhere.
They weren't in the game at all. And that was the hour annoyed. And we all walked out of that. We were all together and we all walked out seething.
Yeah.
Absolutely seething.
Yeah, I'd screamed at a security guard. I was already Mardy 2 hours prior anyway, because I'd screamed at a man. But, you know, that was just circumstance. And then we went on. Drew against Cambridge, drew against Lincoln City, drew against Cheltenham. And this is where that thing came from, that we're going to throw Leeds away. You know what I mean? We all of a sudden made our name for ourselves in one month, where we're now the guys that throw the Leeds away.
This is when we had, when he started playing the formation with, we need three centre-halves, and I had one.
Yep.
So, like, you know, we recalled Brennan. It's did all right, didn't he? But end of the day, he was on loan to a National League side for a reason. So it's coming straight into our team. He did all right. I'm not going to say
he did all right.
But, you know what I mean? This has to be the criticism of the manager. You can't change your system, which might suit other players, Barry Bannon. Mm-hmm. But you have no defenders. You need, if you're going to have to play that for more, you signed one centre half in the summer. You know what I mean? And you can get away with that when you're playing four at the back, you only need four fit centre halves. But when you move to three at the back, you need six fit centre halves, just in case people get injured, and it's Sheffield Wednesday and people always get injured.
Well, let's pull at that thread, Steve. So, you know, Darren Moore was forced to change in his hand in terms of formation. We were trying four at the back and then we moved to five. Then we went into this Sunderland game at the start of November and we spanked them 3-0. So, you know what I mean? I'm going to give you this ammo, Steve, when we talk about Darren Moore later on. He saw there was an issue and he changed it, right?
I don't know if that coincides with the upswell in performance against Sunderland, but yeah. I don't know what his thinking was. I'm not really sure where things lie in terms of, you know, we'll argue that Liam Palmer's not a centre-half. Has Darren Moore got it in the back of his head in terms of Blair's point that we need this many centre-halves to cover this many positions? We've been incredibly unlucky this season with injuries. Incredibly unlucky. You can say what you want. And other teams will talk about the fact that we've had injuries and so forth. But the fact that we've ended up turning Marvin Johnson into a centre-half, whether you agree with that or not, there was no point when we signed Marvin Johnson, there was never a point where Darren Moore's gone, I'm going to bring you in and I'm going to stick you at centre-half and, you know, you're going to do a job. That was an absolute fluke. And it was a fluke that took ages, because for the first three, four games that he played there, he was dogger. He was terrible. He was awful. Yeah. He played his way into being a good centre-half. And if you look back retrospectively and think about it, he wasn't actually that good at centre-half. It was just the fact
that... It was awful. He did it with one header.
I think he'd done all right, but, you know, he did what he needed to do. But previously, we'd been that bad and our performance had been that abject. And, you know, the draws that we were grinding out or throwing away the wins from, the last-minute goals that we were conceding, it was almost, when you look back on it, the fact that we'd won games or the fact that we'd, you know, we'd put in our defence had put in decent performances, all of a sudden, Marvin Johnson at 6 out of 10 looked like a 10 out of 10. And that, just when you look back at it, was not the case. It wasn't.
I tell you what, Stevie, just looking at this lineup here that we had on that day, right? So the three at the back were Palmer, Dunks and Johnson, right? Two players there, I'd argue, weren't centre-backs at all. And then in the middle of the park, you had Adeniran and Wing, right? And then on the right wing back, you had Callum Patterson, who, let's be honest, when he signed for us, somebody, I remember it got said that that was his position, right wing back. And then the other side we had, he was on the right. And then on the left, we had Corbanu. But then we had Bannon in an advanced position. Now, that for me is something that we need to keep looking at. It's something that we need to keep doing. And then he was behind Camberi and Gregory, and Camberi scored that day. Like, it seems like an absolute eternity away, doesn't it? Now, that for me was one of the big results of the season. We then stopped the rot in the FA Cup with a 0-0 draw against Plymouth. So we earned an away tie down at Plymouth.
Should have just scored their own goal when it got to 90 minutes. Should have just fucking put it away.
We knew how that went. Then we smashed Harrogate in the EFL Cup. And then now we're back to drawing. So as daft as it sounds, though, out of the last something like five games we've just said there, three or four of them were the Sunderland game, essentially, was the flash in the pan. It was an absolute, like, where's that come from? And all of a sudden now, Simon, questions are now being made of Lewis Wing. They're being asked of Adeniran, is he actually a good footballer or does he just win loads? Can Palmer and Johnson actually play centre-back? Because we're now drawing against Gillingham 1-1.
Gillingham game was, from what I remember, was absolutely awful.
That was another set piece we conceded. Yeah.
Fucking hell, Blair.
Yeah, cheers for that.
No, his retain list explains this, though.
I'm glad I've got to my age now, because now I can
forget things.
I don't remember these on the fact of my age. Not selective memory loss, because I just really don't want to remember these times. All I remember is the game was absolutely bloody dreadful. And he was chopping and changing the...
I've lost you there, Si.
Because he couldn't find...
Right. Sorry, Si. He said he was chopping and changing, and then what?
Because he couldn't find a side that would actually work with the formation that we got.
No.
Because of the players he had a choice of, because he wasn't his first team that he wanted to play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Ash, the next game there was, we were on telly, weren't we? It was Accrington Stanley. We were battering them 3-0, and then it finished up 3-2 in the end. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that one.
Remember it? I was stood on the uncovered bit, mate. It was one of the best away days of the season.
Really?
It was amazing, mate. Piss wet through. It was great. Really good. Proper enjoyed it. It was good. Camberi scored what can only be described as a wonder goal, weren't it? I don't think he meant it, but it was a. It looked and like a good finish. I've just got to say, but
Corbiano had a great game as well, didn't he?
He did.
That's his like best. That was his solo goal, weren't it? When he actually smashed it.
Brennan came and played well as well.
Yeah,
came in. I think Brennan came and played well, but. It was the fact that 3-0 up coasting and we're just letting back into it.
Mm. Which, something that was going to happen through the course of the season at this point, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, if you're playing one defender, then yeah.
We'd still not exercised the hoodoo of conceding these goals. We always seem to be look and the last couple of months of fixtures that we've just spoken about. I feel that there was an issue there where we looked like we were probably going to concede one here without, you know what I mean, that we thought, we're not going to see this out. We're smashing them, but there's a goal in them somewhere. You know what I mean? Then, so we beat then Accrington Stanley. Then we beat MK Dons at home. Great result, and then the next draw, because these are now, this is like the seventh one now in the space of 3 months.
Dan, sorry, can I just interject a second?
Go on, mate.
Right, we didn't get promoted. Do we have to go through every shit result?
I'm going to bash through them. I'm going to bash through it. Then we drew
it's
against...
It's depressing. I'm a miserable, depressed man anyway. And
all
this
right,
is
mate.
Just...
I'll speed it up. And then
I'm joking.
Then
I'm joking.
Two all at home against MK Dons. I mean, Steve, what do you remember that one?
1-2-1 at home.
2-2-1
at home.
2-all, Wickham Wanderers.
You said MK Dons. MK Dons.
No, we've done MK Dons. I've skipped past it.
Done MK Dons. I thought Wickham one was... Do you know what? I was all right for all the draws that we're talking about and the negativity. I was all right with the Wickham one because I thought we were comfortably the better side. And I think at the time they were above us.
Mm-hmm. We just hit our perennial position of seventh at this point after the Aki game.
I think they scored a great free kick, didn't they, that game?
Yes.
This was one, you can argue it was a great free kick. Loads of people at the time argued that Peacock Farrell should have done better.
Mm-hmm. Did Patterson foul him for the free kick, though?
It was literally, as you look, where I sat on my, what isn't my season ticket anymore, because some fuckers took it, behind the dugout, it was in line, and you could see that Peacock Farrell just, it didn't seem to have, it kind of floated over him. It was almost not the same as the Ronaldinho one in 2002, but there was a lot of space that he could go on.
He took one step left? A lot of keepers do, but you notice it when they score.
They take
a step left and is a couple of inches from reaching it. You think, why did he take a step left?
Just stay where you are, where you wanted to stand. Yeah.
You know what? Just on that, as an aside, he's had his pelts. He's had some hammer this year, Peacock Farrell. And you can argue whether or not he's played well or he hasn't played well. It's those things, like you've just deconstructed there. We're saying he's took one step to the left. We're talking about a player taking a step, and then we'll remember it 6 months later because he's the goalkeeper. And for every mistake that the goalkeeper makes, they're the ones that you're going to remember. How many fuck-ups has Bannon done? How many mess-ups has Peter?
632.
You know, we can go through the side and talk about the mistakes that are made, the shots that are made, this, that, and the other. Peacock Farrell's out there because he's the goalkeeper. It could be any other goalkeeper's going to get the same. So, to that extent, I feel for them a little bit. But I didn't walk away from the Wickham game feeling necessarily downbeat because we'd drawn, because it was one of those. We performed well. We were the better side. And you're thinking, if we kick on now, I think there might have been a decent run of games around it where we'd said, we'll pick points up. And, you know, you start picking them off. And I think there was a little bit of positivity out of all the draws that we'd had when we played Wickham.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. We didn't come away from that thinking all doom and gloom, because then we thought, right, we're going to go into December. Let's move on. And then we got spanked by Hartlepool 3-0. Now, this was in the Papa John's EFL Trophy. That one was a little bit embarrassing. And that was the first time I've seen in a number of years that thing, people going, I've bought a ticket. Does anybody want it? Like, you know what I mean? All these people that were buying tickets to try and get their points up. I thought, all right, that's what's happening.
That was one of the worst disappointing games. Yeah. That was one of the worst games I've ever seen at Hillsborough. It was abject.
I'd agree with that.
And I've watched some under 21 stuff there.
The pass back from Brown to Wildsmith.
It was an OG as well, wasn't it? Did Brown score on goal as well?
And there was no, it was just like, I've just done it. Just no regret, no, just turned around and walked off. Oh, well. And he just, really?
It could have gone one step further and high-fived him after.
Well, that's true.
And then, go on, Ash.
I was just going to say it's disappointing because there were no pizza on show. I just thought, you thought Papa John's sponsor it, and you thought they'd be selling pizzas outside or something, wouldn't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, right? The times we've been in League One, I always think, why don't we go for the EFL trophy? Like, you know, we've got a deep enough squad. Let's give us a day out. Let's get the fans on side. You know, we'd walk away from that EFL trophy final going, we are the best team in the world. Come at me, bro, wouldn't we?
I think it'd been different without the injuries. Like Stevie said, we did have injuries. So obviously, even the EFL trophy or whatever the proper name is, it would have been well down his pecking order because of injuries.
And the pressure that's on him as well. Yeah, of course. So then,
weren't a big loss.
He went for it though in the group stages. Then, if you're not asked about it, then literally play the under-23s. Oh no, I don't think you're allowed, are you?
You can play. Is it six players next game or something stupid like that? I don't know.
So
we'll have to worry about it again in a few weeks.
Yeah, there you are, isn't it? Fast forward a week, we're then 0-0 away at Portsmouth. We'll leave that pin in that. Then we're away day at Crewe Alexandra. A really, decent win. You know, we did what we needed to do. And I thought, right, we've solved it. This is where we all play. This is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. And then the following week, away at Sunderland.
Well, we had a few weeks, didn't we? Because the team got COVID.
2 weeks.
That's right. We had two. It was actually 19 days. 9 days. 19 days.
19 days. Oh, my God, Daniel, son.
Mate, I've spent 2 weeks drinking beer. I'm in an absolute tangle. Should have seen me staring at a computer yesterday. I was like, I was just I was like one of those Morlocks in the time machine, you know, just walking towards that big horn. There's a reference for you, kids. So, right, it's the 30th of December. Right, we're away at Sunderland. We've already beat Sunderland. We feel like we've got somewhere with the after the Crewe game, because it was a real comprehensive win over Crewe. Then we've got to Sunderland, Dash. How'd that go?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, yeah. So good. I left at half time.
Did you? You went all the way up
there. You can all moan at me and swear at your radio. Oh, you can't believe you've been. But I was at Sunderland. I was working the next day. It was, what was it, 3-0 half, 4-0 at half time, maybe?
4-0 at half time.
Yeah. No, I'm not having that. I got in the car and fucked off.
This is what we were talking about as well.
I pays me money. I takes me choices. Fuck yeah.
It was the one as well where it took absolutely ages because it was not like a fatality.
Oh, that's right. Yes, there was. Yeah.
There were people turning up. At
yes.
Half.
It's that right. One with them lads, where them lads paid up £200 and an Uber together. Uber.
Yeah. I mean, full,
5-0.
Bannon paid for it.
Full respect to them, like, but
did
yeah.
He really?
A couple of coaches, weren't they, and stuff. So they wanted to delay it and they got there half time or just before half time. Saw a few people.
Someone died, didn't they? I think that's
an old lady, bless her. She lost control of a car. So,
yeah, so it weren't a good evening for anyone, really, I don't think.
So that was the day before New Year's Eve. So we thought, you know, let's regroup, let's start again, let's get back together. And then Sunday, 2nd of January, Steve, we lost to Shrewsbury.
Oh, this is the worst one.
Yeah. I will die on this hill forevermore. We can talk about draws all day long. There are 4 games this season that have cost us. Just have a quick look. Yeah, they've cost us promotion. And
The two playoff games. But obviously.
The 4 games that have killed our season, I'll die on this hill, are Lincoln and Shrewsbury, home and away.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
I've got Shrewsbury. I've also got that Wimbledon game in there.
We picked up Oxford
away.
That's the next game.
Ipswich away.
Shut up! We picked up 2 points out of 12 against against 2 teams that finished 17th and 18th in the league. That's not right. And if you know, when we're given the groundswell, the momentum that we had when we were going into those games, all right, we'd lost at Sunderland, but you're thinking, right, we're going to bounce back. We need a reaction from performance previous. Again, the Shrewsbury game at home was one that we should have won. You know, they offered nothing between them. Those two teams, I've got it in front of me here, those two teams lost 42 games this season. They lost 42 games. Do you know what I mean? We can talk about, all right, there are loads of other games. We can talk about Wimbledon. We can talk about Gillingham. Gillingham was abject going down there. We can talk about losing at Morecambe. At that point, we were talking about, it's just a blip and everything will be all right. And morale was still pretty decent. I think Simon went to the Morecambe game, didn't you? And Ben was there as
played
well.
All right against Morecambe.
Everybody came out and gone, it's one of those things. We've absolutely battered them. Against a runner player, they've scored one goal. We'll move on. The fact that we've dropped 10 points against 2 sides of 4 games that have finished just outside the relegation zone will haunt me. It'll absolutely haunt me. That Shrewsbury game, around about New Year, you've had a few and you've always got like a bit of a fuzzy head as well, ain't you? You're sitting there watching it thinking, Jesus Christ.
I really got excited for that game as well. I thought, all right, 2nd of January, coming, you know what I mean, we're going back to work tomorrow. Full up on turkey, had a few beers, settled down, watched the Wednesday, and they put in that performance. And it's like the worst performance I think I've ever seen. Sheffield Wednesday do. I can remember Barry Bannon looking over his shoulder like 8 times when he had the ball because he really didn't know where anyone was, what to do. And you think, and then that's when I really were more out then, because I was like, the players don't even know what they're doing. That's what it looked like. It looked like no one knew what they're doing. No one knew where they were. You know, I mean, when you got Barry Bannon looking over his shoulder 8 times to look for a pass, I mean, it was embarrassing. You should know where people are just by the system is set up. Yeah, really bad, really embarrassing. That really, really hurt them.
I didn't enjoy that at all, that one, yeah. not your analysis there, Blair, the game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
another
the analysis was shit as well, to be fair.
So we then got a monkey off our back. We then played Plymouth. We beat them at our place. So them travelling all the other way, the opposite direction, we finally beat Plymouth 4-2. I think Johnson got an own goal that day, and I think that's when a lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans turned on Johnson. Or it might have been the month before, actually. But, you know, don't get me wrong, Marv turned into an absolute baller when we moved him to fullback. And then one of the big games of the season, the first double against us that season, it always reminded me, do you remember when we beat Barnsley and we just signed Sam Winnell, and there was that kid who filmed himself in the crowd, and he's going, "It's Sam Winnell!" You know what I mean? And we thought that was great on Twitter. He did it to us. Yeah. 2-2, and then Sam Winnell, with 6 minutes left, smashed one in, losing 3-2 to Oxford. Simon, you went to that, didn't you? I remember.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I think we were 2-0 up, Ash.
Yeah. 2-0. Cracking goal by Bannon. Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. No, we were 1-0 up.
1-0.
And then we're 2-1 up, and they scored a minute later, like straight away, to bring it to 2-2.
We did batter them in first half, and they just changed the way they played in the second half. And they were excellent in the second half. One thing for Winnell, though, when he scored, he didn't celebrate like he did in front of the Barnsley fans when he scored for us.
He couldn't run over to us in far corner.
Well, no.
it's a long way for somebody with a bad leg.
But that felt like another sort of kick in the guts that game.
That was a big loss for me. And then we went on to get a good win against Ipswich. So now during January, we also made a good amount of signings. Who came in? Harley Dean came in. When did we sign Berahino? That was earlier on, wasn't it?
It was Tyrese John Jules we signed.
Tyrese John Jules came in as well.
And Story.
What, 11 minutes?
Jordan Story came in as well. So let's move on to February. So, right then. So, Morecambe. We're at home to Morecambe. Beat them 2-0. Mendes Lang, I remember, cutting in on the inside and sticking one in the far, beans on toast. Then away at Burton, a team that can sometimes cause us a right load of grief. Beat them 2-0. George Byers and Silasso getting on the score sheet. And then Wigan again.
Did they? I don't know.
Yeah, that was a good game, wasn't it, Ash?
You got absolutely slaughtered at that Burton game, didn't you?
No, don't remember it. No, didn't
have to. That'd be shit at football.
Was this the one where you got stuck at a train station?
Yeah, just battered at a train station.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get stuck at a train station. We just decided to get the past 9 train home because we found a pub.
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, listeners, this is Ash and Si, who take their kids to the football as well. And bear in mind, it's not like the young kids, but like, you know what I mean? There's these teenage lads just looking at their dads sat on this train station at 5:09 going, "Is that us? Is
must that be going to be bored out their heads?"
No, they said it's one of the best away days they've had.
Yeah. Because Ash, you were probably like, "Hey, here's a tenner. Go and play on that gambler." You know what I mean?
it wasn't. It was £8 and go and get yourself some sweets from Aldi. That's what I did.
Ethan come out like this. He looked like Father Christmas. He got that many penny sweets.
Anyway, you know.
Back to the football. It was a good day out, yeah.
Right, the next game then was Wigan at home, Steve. So it was just a penalty. It was a penalty that Bannon put away. I don't know if generally remember this. Anybody pick this one up? It was at Hillsborough.
What was that? Sorry,
Wigan. Wigan at home.
I can't remember this game at all.
No, neither can I. Where was I?
No, I can't remember.
I would have watched it.
I think we've drawn a blank there, guys. Let's move on.
You were still hungover, Ash. And then the next one.
You know.
And then the next one was Rotherham at home. And they did us 2-0.
No, can't remember it. Move on.
Simon, that was a very exasperated gesture.
One-sided football games this season at Hillsborough in regards to the team in blue and white.
Mm-hmm.
Set pieces again, wasn't it? Two set pieces ago.
We played Mendes Lang up front, didn't we?
I was about to say we had a lack of strikers, didn't we?
Patterson. Was it Patterson and Mendes Lang up front?
Maybe Sal.
It
was Patterson and Mendes Lang, and then Canberra came up last 10 minutes.
We just destroyed them, and then we lost 2-0.
It was an odd game, that one, wasn't it? Because we were up for it, and we were clearly getting quite frustrated on the back of a really good win against Wigan that none of us remember. And we thought, right, here we go. And we really went at them. And these are those losses I don't particularly mind. Ones where we've turned up, we've given our all, we've played some good football, it's just not our day. You know what I mean? Because I'm okay with them, because that's what football is. If we could predict football, then you know, we'd be millionaires every week, wouldn't we? Then we went away to Doncaster, smashed them 3-1. We just absolutely battered them. Then we played Charlton at home.
we didn't batter them there, did we?
No, we scored 3 goals in the last 20 minutes. After being 1-0 down for so long.
They brought... didn't he have a masterstroke more?
Barry Heaton and Pato
and they both scored.
I disagree with that. I thought we were comfortably better side first half. They'd scored on the break. And then for 10, 15 minutes either side of half time, for a period of 10, 15 minutes, we looked like we were going to toil again, because you go back to the hangover of all the other games that we've ended up drawing or pushing up the wall. But what the moment we equalised, we've absolutely bossed it. I'd say for an hour or so against Doncaster, we were comfortable.
Yeah, as daft as it sounds, when they scored a penalty, was it really the start of the first half, like right at the start? And when we were on the line, I remember thinking, do you know what? We'll be okay. We'll stick to what we're doing. We'll be okay. We've battered them. And then as time went on, you know what I mean? You're like, we're not going to win this, are we? This is going to fall to shit, this. And then we scored. As soon as we scored our first one, floodgates opened. We could have had another 7 or 8 if I remember rightly.
Not too similar to Man City and Villa last week. You know, as soon as Man City scored 1, floodgates opened, Villa. I know it.
Just compared us to Man City.
Just compared more to Pep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's worth comparing Kevin De Bruyne to Barry Bannon. But you know what I mean? Like, so, and then we went on following week. We've picked up some points here now. All of a sudden, our signings are gelling. Our new signings were great. And then we beat Charlton, a comprehensive win at Charlton. Then we moved into March. Then we absolutely smashed Burton Albion.
Five two.
A brace from Bannon. Neymar got one. I think that was the one where he hit it low on the far post. I remember watching that one. Your mate Liam Palmer scored, Steve. And then, for me, the most embarrassing result of the season. We lost 3-1 to Lincoln City. And I didn't know what to say about that one. I remember doing the podcast with you guys afterwards, and I remember thinking, what happened? We come off some really good results there, and then shit the bed against Lincoln Bloody City.
It was. I agree with you there, Dan. I think they just from minute 3 was it? I think they scored.
Yeah,
that was it. We can't even say we were in it. I know we scored. It was a cracking goal
We made it 1-1 as well, didn't we?
Marvin Johnson scored a great goal, weren't it? Really good.
It was his run, though, didn't he?
He carried the ball from our box and took on like 8 people.
We made them look like world beaters. We made them look like world beaters.
Yeah, it was.
Cannot one of the understand
worst,
why,
right.
how.
And then Chris Maguire had a really good game, didn't he? If I remember rightly. And then that was a blip, as daft as it sounds. I think that result doesn't get a lot of focus on it, because we'd won like 3 prior to it. And then the one after, we absolutely schooled Cambridge into next week. That was the one when we bashed 6, Ash.
Oh, right, yes.
Berahino's hat trick.
We scored 6 against Cambridge. If I remember rightly, we scored 6 against Cambridge and declared on 54 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
Declared.
We did. Enough now.
It got embarrassing for them, didn't it? Watching the defender go, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, every time we were getting through, was that the one where we played Bannon in a bit of a advanced role?
Yeah, Bannon scored a right goal, but it was almost like no one went near him. It was almost like he was just allowed to take the ball from the byline up to the 18-yard box and shoot. And it was just like, no challenges on him at all. I mean, a great goal. Right?
I think just a little point on that one, though. Cambridge, you know, you look at the teams that have struggled this season. Cambridge haven't struggled.
No.
You look at their record this year. They were a solid, all right, albeit bottom end.
Freshly promoted.
Solid mid-table side this year. And we've absolutely torn them apart.
It was awful game against them away. Horrific. It was awful, yeah.
So,
they went to Newcastle and got a result as well. So they were a horrendous side, but you know, we should be still beating them. But
no, and that's it. I think that's the point Steve's making. It. They weren't. It's not like they were the whipping boys of the league. We've turned up and absolutely schooled a mid-table club there. Fresh on the back of a promotion, flying high. It's like smashing Brentford. who finished 13th. You know what I mean? Then we played a bloody god-awful game at Hillsborough against Accrington Stanley. That finished 1-1. And this is where we went into back into old territory there, losing a late goal. I think Johnson own goal. 1-1 there.
It was a frustrating game, that. Cause it was like first half, I got vertigo because it was just literally the ball was going from one end to the other in the air all the time. Just looking up, head going left and right, left and right, left and right. Second half, they got Bannon on the ball more. And then he really influenced the game. He got his goal. And then he took him off. And then when he took him off, it all went to shit again, didn't it?
There we are. We'll remember that for later on, Steve. And then the following game site, we were all there. Gillingham away. We had a big day out up at the Gills. Went into the ropiest pub this side of the Millennium. Yeah, in it. You know, it was like walking into Gillingham County Borough. But they were lovely with us, to be fair. And then...
That was an embarrassing result as well, I think.
That was a shit result. We didn't offer anything, did we?
No. We couldn't. They were very deep, sat very deep. And this was with the bit where I think some people was questioning, like, Moore's got a plan B, or he doesn't know how to break or change. Because he made some strange substitutions as well, I recall. And I think Bannon had a shot in the second half that went just wide.
That's right. Just went past the corner.
Yeah, the stanchion bit. But other than that, nothing. They had a really good chance to score like last
towards
2 minutes.
End. Yeah, they did. They went blaring through.
Olivieri, I think his name was, something like that. And that's another result that it was just.
But they were still fighting for against relegation. Did they go down in the end on goal difference?
No, but the turnout from our fans again that game.
Well, this
and they gave you nothing. It's just
it's been a few like that.
So when, frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good old trek down there, and that scaffolding scared the shit out of me.
Teams like, you know, MK Dons like in the playoffs, like separating the Wickham fans to try and give less of an advantage because there's too many away end. Yeah, you know I mean, we pack out and jilling them away, and yeah, you know I mean. We can't do much more as fans, can we? Do you know what I mean?
This has always been my biggest gripe the last 20 years, Blair, being a Sheffield Wednesday fan. We're turning up, we're paying our money. I said 20 years, it could be 30, you know, going back to the Dave Richards jobs, you know what I mean? But like, you know, as fans, we're turning up and paying our money and we're not getting rewarded with our loyalty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's like anything though, Dan, isn't it? We know that. We do it because we love the club and everything. The results, yes, but you pay your money, you take your chance, don't you? And
if we're pumping money into the club, where's it going? Tyrese John Jules.
I don't know. Well,
but it's the away game, isn't it? That we're putting money into the clubs that we're going to.
Yeah, League One clubs are sat rubbing their hands that we've not got promoted.
Of course they are.
And Derby County and all, come on, they're going to have a right day out now.
Yeah, which is only right, though, isn't it? You've got bigger clubs coming down and they're going to take or would take a good away following. But sometimes I do wonder why clubs down lower in the League One, who probably are going to either fight relegation or mid-table, don't give a better away allocation for the money. So some of the allocations we've got, 1,700, 1,800, sell out on the second phase of going on sale when they can sell 2,500, 3,000.
I'll tell you,
and they get there, and they've only sold 4,000 full or whatever.
It's a solid point, actually. Ash, yeah. Bournemouth did it when they were in the Championship. I remember a good 14 years ago now. I was away at Bournemouth. I was living in Southampton at the time, so it was like a 20-minute drive. So geez, and that they just built. They didn't have an away end. I don't know if you remember. They didn't have one before they went up to the Prem, and then they put one in. They put one in. They gave us the entire away end, and then they kept back about 3,000 of this sliver next to the away end on their big long stand, opposite the Steve Fletcher stand. Not that Steve Fletcher, and they had it in the pocket, and I thought that was a good idea. I thought, well, why not? Why not rinse these ropey Northerners coming down here? You know, we give enough of them our money, come and work on our railway. You know what I mean? But anyway, let's move on. So then we smashed Cheltenham. At home, you know, should have happened. Yeah, that's what we did. Smashed them. Brilliant. Let's move on. Now we're in April. Now we're in the money. You know what I mean? We're in the money seats. We finally got over the line with Wimbledon with a late winner from Lee Gregory. Jack Hunt scoring for the Wendy. This is not that long ago now, is it?
Congratulations.
And then we got back into old habits once again. Another late equaliser from Bolton Wanderers when we played away at them.
That was dog shit, that was.
Really annoying. I was out in Sheffield and I said to my mates, well, at least we've suddenly stopped conceding late goals.
That was when it was really cold.
Yeah, it was bloody freezing. And then MK Dons again. Now, this is one of those games where I after this game, I remember thinking, right, looks like we might get playoffs here. We couldn't get out of seventh, but we still had that game in hand and all the rest of it. But this game, I thought, we've beat MK Dons twice now. Or, you know what I mean? And I want them in the playoffs. Let's have them. Now, Corbanu's playing for them now. And we were 3-0 up. We scored on the 10th, 20th and 30th minute. We're 3-0 up that we were out of sight. We were gone. And that game finished 3-2. They got a really late one to make it 3-2. Do you remember? And I remember thinking, why can't we stop that shit off? What's going on?
It's got to be. Has it got to be mental? It's not tactical. It can't be. Is it in the player's mind?
It was a set piece ago again.
Set piece, wasn't it? And I think in that particular game, in the first half, we gave absolutely everything. And I actually think they were buggered in the second. And I know they're professional footballers.
Harley Dean going off killed that game.
Yeah.
It was the Dean going off. We talked about it because it was literally, what, 6 weeks ago? Dean went off and they brought Dunkley on. And whether or not we talk about Dunkley in a little bit, but he came on expecting to replace Dean as a cultured ball playing or whatever you want to call it, shit kicking, however Dean was playing the game. However Dean was playing, Dunkley wanted to go and fit in. And your first header as a centre off, Daniel, back me, whatever happens, just go win your first fucking header.
Don't let it bounce.
Clear it all out. He's let it bounce. He's out of position. He's trying to play. I think if I remember rightly, was it Parrott that scored the equaliser? It was either Parrott or Twine. And he's come in behind Story because Story was out of position as well. The back three was just a mess, basically. If that doesn't happen, if Dean's on the pitch, we don't concede before half-time. Yeah. We're going in there 3-0 at half-time. No worries about that game whatsoever. Nobody will tell me otherwise. Absolutely no worries. They get one back, and then you've got that mentality of the we ship goals. They're going to come back into it. I think Darren Moore goes into games. If we concede late in the half, it'll go and it'll go, right, we need to settle in, we need to dig in, we need to sit back and we need to say, right, we'll protect what we've got.
It was another set piece, and it's a reason I really just can't take to Callum Patterson, because all he does for me is just charge around like a bull and he fouls everyone.
That's what we've got him for. We replaced Nuyu.
And so many of his fouls lead to goals.
We got rid of Nuyu and then we got Patterson to do literally exactly the same job. But Nuyu didn't foul as many people, but he used to get called up on fouls because he was just so massive. And so anyway, that finished 3-2, and it felt like a draw to me, that one. And then we beat Crewe Alexandra. You know, that was what we needed to do. That was our game in hand, if I remember rightly. And then we finally got into the playoffs, and now we're now playing Wickham.
Don't just gloss over Crewe Alexandra.
It was a penalty. We won 1-0. It was a shitty game of football.
What? It was great.
Go on, you tell me why the 1-0 win against Crewe at home that we won by a penalty was great. You wind up bastard.
I know. Sorry, I told you everything.
Shit game of football it was. However,
it was needed, though, weren't it? It was needed.
They started off well. Wednesday started off well that game, actually. If they scored early, we would have won 5 or 6.
We got the 3 points. It was what we needed. And then, so here we go. Now, this game pissed me off. This game really wound me up. Away at Wickham. Here we have an opportunity because Rotherham was shit in the bed at the time. Wigan couldn't seem to get over the line at this point. And here's an opportunity for Sheffield Wednesday to come crashing that party with our 3 big points ready to stick it in.
Aiming for the truck. We're not aiming for the truck.
Yeah, exactly the right.
Yeah.
So what?
All that bollocks. Yeah.
So what happened, lads?
Sam Hutchinson happened.
We had a referee. We had a legitimate goal. Ruled for a foul or something.
We got shithoused.
Penalty not given. We got shithouse. They got shithouse, but there's nothing else to... horrible. Absolutely.
And it was
horrible.
£7 a pint. £7 for a pie. That's being shithouse, that, isn't it?
I tell you what, that Wickham, I actually quite like Wickham's ground. I like their little setup. And I used to live up the road from that ground. I used to go down a few times. And that was the first time I ever come across something called beefy drink. You know, what's that? What's beefy drink? And it just goes Bovril. It can't be that dear, lads. You know what I mean? Go Macro. They sell it. Then, away at Fleetwood.
Wickham, wasn't it?
Away at Fleetwood. Now, Fleetwood there, another 3-2. Now, there's a good few, since we've gone through these results, I didn't realise how many times we've hit three or four goals and we've let the other side score two. So, looking at those results, we still haven't shored up at the back at all, have we? You know what I mean? We haven't stopped them creeping in. And then...
he has released all his defenders.
And then we move forward and then I wasn't ready for this. So, we started at the Rawson Spring quite early. They had a...
You started Friday night.
I started Friday night. I came in stinking, right?
What time of meeting, Dan? What time of meeting?
And then I had a few of them alcoholic watters, a few of them alcoholic pots. I was eight drinks deep before we had a kickoff.
At least you could drink.
I was still doing my trousers up when I came out to the bus. So then we've got there. 4 minutes in, George Hurston scored the easiest goal of his bloody career. And I remember sitting there going, well, this is how this is supposed to go. And then it was an absolute rout after that. We absolutely smashed them, finished in the playoffs.
We wouldn't know, Dan. We went to the bar at 25 minutes.
Listen, don't you... They don't want to know that. They don't...
I was ready to drink, man.
And then we're in the playoffs, and because they're recent in memory, will not really pluck away at that, apart from the fact that I feel that Sunderland home fixture, we played with that fear. That one that we get in the last 10 minutes, we played with that. And we played that with a lot more than what we have done all the season in terms of time. You know what I mean? Normally we wait till the last 5 minutes and the crowd get antsy. The players start to lose their heads a little bit. But we played with fear that day. And I've said this, that's a negative for me with Darren Moore. We play with too much fear. We should be walking out with the biggest dick in the universe going, look at us, we're Sheffield Wednesday in League One. Come at me, bro. And we don't do it. So, right, Steve, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Now, we finished in the playoffs. We shit the bed on the playoff semi-final. As daft as it sounds, it's a lot better finishing in the semi-final than it is in going to Wembley and dying, I must admit. But let's talk about the gaffer, Steve. Let's talk about the gaffer. And let's try and avoid the phrase, who you're going to get.
I think personally it's difficult, isn't it? You know, in all seriousness now, it's difficult because we wanted to get up, we wanted to get out of the league with the resource that we've got, with the size of the club that we are. I know that we've spoken previously about an expectation that we bounce straight back. We've never done that previously. I go back to points that we've made in podcasts over the last 18 months to 2 years. Our club was hemorrhaging in every way, shape and form that you can imagine.
Orifice.
Yeah, we were all over the shop. I think given the injuries that we've had, can I agree with every decision that he's made? No. Do I think he's the greatest manager of all time? No. Do I think he's done a good job this year, given everything on reflection? We finished fourth in the league. This time last year, me, Ash, Dave and Simon sat down and we talked about finishing potentially 10th, 11th, mid-table, consolidating and then potentially being in a position to get back up in 2-3 years' time. That was the project. We talked about that at the back end of last year. Darren Moore is ahead of the curve with that, as far as I'm concerned. I know that I'm in the minority on this podcast in that I am talking about Darren Moore having done a reasonable job. I know that we've spoken previously about the fact that if we finished outside the playoffs and we knew that over a period of time we would get up next year and automatics next year was a possibility, begrudgingly, I would have accepted not going up this year. Don't get me wrong, I wanted to go up this year. I absolutely did. Should we have gone up? Absolutely, given everything in terms of the quality of the squad that we had. And you look at the points that we've thrown away. However, in the cold light of day, we are in a position now where we should be one of the better sides in the league next year. We were one of the better sides in the league this year, but I think we need to now be in a better position next year. What I'm saying is, give Darren Moore another year. If we don't go up and we're not in a position to be in and around the automatics by sort of January, February time next year, then there's going to be questions to be asked. But as a project, he's recruited players. I think his recruitment's been good. I think it has, with the exception of one or two. Wing, you talk about Lewis Wing. Everybody would have signed Lewis Wing last
year. We'd have all took Lewis Wing. I tell you what it is, Steve, though. I think where you're being a little bit romantic is the pressure of it being Sheffield Wednesday. And I feel like giving him till February is far, 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 far too late. I think he's on the chopping block now until about November, October, November time. Well, I don't think he's got as long
as... Yeah, but it's a bit harsh, that, because I agree with Stevie on some respects that fourth playoffs, then the progression from that is either win the playoffs or first or second. That's the only place he can go. So if he doesn't get that, or is in the first... December, we are 12, 15 points off playoffs, or what it goes wrong, then yes. But there is, at the end of the season, if we're losing the playoffs again, then he's gone.
Well, I tell you what.
Progression there, is there? Do you know?
Let me enter a new challenger here. So Blair messaged me this morning, which is why I'm on tonight, about the rebuild, Blair, about what you were saying this morning. Like, so. Darren Moore had a lot to sift through and a lot of players to get rid of. And you know what I mean? He had a big, huge job on at the start of this season. Go on, Blair.
Yeah, so his like get-out clause from like August up until late November was, he signed 17 players or 10 players or whatever, and they need to gel. He doesn't know his best 11, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's just released 10, and he's just offered four new contracts. And if they don't sign, he needs to replace 14 players. So has he got that same excuse next season?
It's a huge rebuild job. So
if you agreed with what he said August to thing this season, then you're going to agree for this season, aren't you?
I think the job that he did last year in terms of overhauling the squad, given everything that we went through and we had gone through for the 2 years previously, I think he's done a stellar job.
He's overhauled it, but a lot.
He's
going
to have to do it again.
Listen, I don't disagree, but I think he's proven this year. You look at the players that he's managed to recruit. We've seen flashes, and I know that I'm going to probably buck the trend and say things that people disagree with. If we'd have kept Mendes Lang fit and had a fit squad around him when he came in just before the Rotherham game, he was absolutely flying.
We lost Luongo because he got sent off at Pompey, and then he got himself a bit of an injury. That's the most Luongo's played for us, isn't it? And then
these are the things.
We lost Dean.
Granted, Moore didn't sign Luongo. He signed Adeniran, and we thought Adeniran was great. He signed Johnson. We've pulled in a goalkeeper that's dropped bollocks left, right and centre, but still kept, 15, 16, 17 clean sheets this year? We signed him. We've got Gibson in. When Gibson was in and playing, Gibson was quality. We've signed Story, quality. Marley Dean, quality. We've brought players into this club this year that George Byers, by the way, is one of ours now. Whatever happens, we've got George Byers next year. We've got Johnson next year. He's managed to attract Jack Hunt. All right, well, we've not mentioned Bannon yet, but between Moore and Bannon, they've attracted players to this club that I don't think a different type of manager would.
We've got the money this season to do it. You know, the money you spent, obviously, some of them players would have been on half-decent wages for this league. Will he have the same amount of money to attract them players?
We spent the most on agent fees as well.
Fine.
Four and a half million. He might not have the money to bring in good loan players again, freebies.
If you look at, and I've seen very limited, admittedly, if you look at the stuff that we're talking about, was it last night they were talking about Alfie May, and we're saying that we can argue whether or not we think Alfie May is the right player to bring in.
No way,
listen to me. We can argue about whether or not we think he's the right player, but we're talking about somebody who the press is saying would command a six-figure sum. all right? And we could get him in. If we're saying that we can pay six-figure sums for players in League One, absolutely fine.
Oh, no, I think Chansu will back 100% again. Because I think Chansu backs all his managers because he's mental.
Okay. Okay. Simon, you're disconcertingly quiet on this hot topic.
I'm letting you guys talk and then I'll come in. I think there's two things here. I'm not sold on Moore, but we came into the January transfer window. It was blatant that we needed to shore up the defence because we're having to play people out of position. And he... All right, Harley Dean got injured, but he brought in Dean and Story, who were far, far better than what we'd already got. And he brought players in, right? He's now come to a situation now where he's released Hutch. And I think the situation here is, I think he's got a game plan here. He knows who and what he wants to bring in. My personal opinion is I actually think that there are the players we brought in were actually better than the defenders, including Big Dom. Because Dom, when he came in, I know it was rusty. I know it was rusty.
Did he call himself in glory?
When he came back, it was awful.
But, and I know Steve will disagree with this, but I actually think that Story and Dean are better players than him. And I think he has a game plan of improving the defence. We've leaked goals. We've had mistakes, and he's seen that. And the only way he can eradicate that is new.
Yeah, you know? he's obviously like you say, he's obviously addressing the issue by releasing his defenders.
Hear me out. So he's with Bannon and Byers. Byers was exceptional this season when he eventually got fit. One of the best players I've seen play for Wednesday for a long time. If he can keep Luongo. That's I don't know. There's talk about him wanting to go back to Australia or going to London. Then if we keep him, then we build on that midfield. But then what we need up is an out and out striker side of Gregory. Yeah, and I think he knows what he wants. I think he knows the type of players. I think what let him down slightly at the start of last season was he didn't bring a centre back in. We brought a lot of midfielders in, and he didn't bring because I think he thought we got the right back three, back four, and injuries showed that, and Dunkley showed that he wasn't up to it, unfortunately. And maybe that was his only real mistake in regards to the players he brought in. But the class of players he's in, and on these tracks, he's been superb, apart from Brown.
I think he obviously got let down by the injuries, especially up front. I mean, having Windass injured all season was a bit unprecedented.
This Windass one's difficult. Actually, I'm glad you've picked at that. This Windass thing's weird. I think he's one of the best players we've got. Why is everybody all, get rid of him, get him?
Oh, no, I do. I think he's quality.
I think he's an absolute joke. He's lively and he's a threat. We can't chuck a kid out just because he's broke when we've had Sam Hutchinson playing for us for the last 8 years.
if a team in Argentina, Premier League,
there is no way in God's green earth that team in Argentina, manager. In it, well, he's just sat there and gone, Alvarez, I just signed this geezer on fucking manager, in it. Who did Drago Cindy fuck it? That's culturally appropriate, innit? I'll move on from that.
Divas.
Alvarez and the Drogas in the car. You don't get many punchlines like that tonight, kids. Listen, right, so the retain list get done. The retain list got done. Hutch, Berejango and Cheyenne, they've gone. Yeah. I think that's a big call for me, that. I think Che Dunkley, out of the three, I'd probably get rid of, but Hutch, Christ, and Berahino's turned up when... You know, at times and rescues a little bit.
And that's why I think he's got somebody or players in mind at the back.
You reckon he's got a ball over the pocket then?
I think he's got people, whether it be the lone players who've just left.
Listen, if it's Aidan Flint, I'm going to go and jump in the sea.
Yeah, that'd be a great signing, wouldn't it?
He knows players. Hector.
I think we need an entire back three made of 6'5" blokes, to be honest.
Yeah, it's League One. It's exactly what we need. Steve, we're available, aren't we, Steve? We're big lads. Yeah. We'll go and do it. We'll chuck a shirt on. My shirt. It's tight, this Macron shirt, Steve.
That's why I've not bought it.
Oh, right, fair. fair.
It'll not be that next season anyway, will it? It'll be something different.
Oh, is it? Are we changing kit makers?
We'll find out in October.
Right, listen, I've got one more question before we sign off, because that's nearly an hour and 15. So,
oh, there's loads we can go out there.
Yeah. I know, innit?
But
we'll do a part two
next week.
But one question I wanted to shout to you guys before we wrap this up is Cameron Dawson.
Why did you spoil it?
How on earth is that your last question?
I know, you asked
Cameron Dawson.
All that Ash scored earlier, you go for Cameron Dawson.
I've gone through all that what Ash sent through, Anna.
I don't know. Okay. No. Was it? I don't know what I sent you.
All I can say about Cameron Dawson.
Shit. Cameron Dawson fall under other shit.
Cameron Dawson's fallen under other shit. And
all
I'll tell
I can
you
say
why,
about this, him is that the Exeter fans love him.
This is nuanced to this question. Steve, bear with me on this. These are just shit kicking now. Come on, Steve. We're mates. Cameron Dawson has had a very good season with Exeter in League Two. Yeah, he's had a very good season. We're now in League One. Cameron Dawson, you know, last time I saw him play for us was away at Brentford getting spanked 5-0 and getting lobbed on the edge of the 18 box, and then one went through his bloody legs. You know what I mean? We saw one bounce off the post and hit him on the back of the head and go in against Blackburn in another 5-0 bloody kicking. Do we give him another crack of the whip at Sheffield Wednesday? Now his confidence is up a little bit. Start off, Steve.
Right. I'll start with the most controversial point that I can possibly come up with. I don't really give a shit. I don't think it's a priority.
Gee, that's what I was going to say. Does anybody else give a shit?
I do not care. I don't think it's a priority. And the reason that I don't think it's a priority is that if he comes in, like I've seen somewhere, forgive me, I don't know where I've seen it, but you know, if you look at him as profile and take his name away and you say, we've got a lad who's got a team out of the division, he's, I think he was League Two Goalkeeper of the Year. We chuck everything at him. The fact that he's one of ours and he comes with baggage is a problem. I don't think he's coming back to us. If he is coming back to us, he's not coming back to us to sit on the bench. He's either coming back to us as number one or he's an asset that we need to move on because we've got a couple of years on his contract. Either or for me at the moment, I'm absolutely fine with it. I'm more bothered about the three lads that we've been talking about, all the positions we've been talking about all night. The three lads in front of him are the issue. Have we got, is Iorfa going to be fit? Are we going to recruit two other centre-halves? What role is my mate Liam Palmer going to play next year? Are we going to keep Jack Hunt? Is Neymar going to play left wing back and tear it up from minute one like he has done from minute 60, if you like, this season? Well, if we've got that back five secure with in front of him, I don't give a shit who the goalkeeper is, to be honest with you, because whoever we recruit, if it's somebody on loan, they're going to be coming down from a league above and they're going to be coming down with a point to prove like Peacock Farrell did. If it's Cameron Dawson, he's going to come in, he's going to need big bollocks when he drops his first makes his first mistake. He's going to have to be able to wear that, to deal with it, to be able to bounce back from it. But from my point of view, I don't really care. It's not a priority. Sorry.
Does anybody else disagree with that?
Not really.
Yeah.
I think it's right.
I disagree.
Go on, Smash. What are you saying?
It's one of the most important positions, isn't it? So you've got to get that right. You've just said about him being
I think what Steve's saying is, though, like if it's Cam, he can, you know, could probably do a job. If it's somebody else, it'd be somebody else doing a job. I guess.
So when he drops
one
back at net and he gets everyone on the back in the first game,
that'd be my concern.
Any goalkeeper can do that. I know that, but you've got to be concerned about the one of the most important positions.
That's the point I'm making, Ash, though, isn't it? What I'm saying is that will happen at some point next season. If Cameron Dawson is our number one, he's going to drop a bollock. He might drop two, three bollocks in two, three games. Is that then us going, remember Brentford? Can you remember this? Can you remember that?
Yeah.
Forget, he's played it in League. He's done this, that and the other in League Two, so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, and we know that he does this, he's going to turn around and he's going to go, right, this is what they're saying on social media. This is what they're saying on the podcasts. This is it. How is that going to affect him? You know, I for me, I don't know. I would like to think that he's had a really strong season and his mentality is at a point now where we're turning around going, yeah, we'll
get. And they get better as they get older.
Yeah, but he's. But the other thing to mention as well with that is, if we're talking about our financial situation, he's on a contract that is secure. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not bringing a goalkeeper in on loan.
Well, this is it. This is what I was going to say. Do we chuck some more money at somebody else when we can put Cameron Dawson in? He was on the back of a good season. His confidence is up a lot more. And then use that money to fill up those holes of that line of three lads in front of him. Because, like you say, I think that's the most pressing. Does anybody have any other business?
We could talk about loads of stuff, but
honestly, I've had enough of podcasting for this season. I'm still here. It's been a long season, guys, and I wanted to say thank you to you all for listening. If you've listened to every episode, you're better than me. My apologies if I think earlier on, I used some choice language. It happens. It's been great. Thanks a lot for sharing this journey with us. Well, you know, some of us will probably see you next year. Some of us might not. We might have some new faces. See what happens. You know what I mean? It might be funnier. But listen, thanks a lot for joining.
Are you sacking me?
Listen, Steve, don't make it awkward on air. Like,
actually, I've not had that contract.
Yeah,
we're lowering the age.
You're all fucking fired. Yeah. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.